Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
The coolest thing is that my kids actually saw me play like I used to play. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, Dad. I said, yeah, I used to do this pretty often. They're like, really? Like, dude, YouTube it. You know what I mean? One.
Kobe. Welcome everybody to the Mamba Legacy Podcast. Okay, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, which is pretty much the Kobe Bryant Legacy Podcast. Tommy, how are you doing after last night's surreal performance? I'm pretty sure we called the 50 shots thing to a T. Like, we literally called the 50 shots thing and hit it. How are you doing the day after yesterday?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm fine. But it was an amazing game. I mean, I was so exhausted at work today because I was just so, like, it was such a high coming off of that game. Like, I couldn't go to sleep. I was just, like, on Twitter and, like, watching interviews and like all this stuff, and then all day today everything just felt so meaningless, you know.
I know, you just wanted to soak up all the Kobe articles, Kobe stats, Kobe historical facts, whatever. I felt like during last, because did we record that podcast? No, we recorded the last episode like 2 days ago, before last night's game. And I felt like we undersold Kobe's last game a little bit. We're kind of like, oh yeah, we're ready for it. Well, it's just going to be a game. Kobe's going to shoot 50 shots, but it's been good for him. And it's going to be a good ending, and we'll be happy that we're moving on to the future. And then as I was watching, did you watch the pregame stuff?
I did,
So as I was watching the pregame stuff, I was like, oh shoot, I wasn't expecting to get that emotional. But then they show the video of all the people talking, and then each new player that they have interviewed, like, they keep one-upping the next player. It's like, first it's like Dwayne Wade, and then it's like Carmelo on the verge of tears talking about his big bro. Yeah. Hey Kobe, it's your little bro, man. and then they top that with Pau Gasol, and you're like, oh man, this is like touching me in all like the tender spots. And then they one up Pau by like putting Lamar Odom on the screen, who shouldn't even be alive now. And he's like, Kobe, I was with you through it all, man. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on right now? I've never seen like anything like this before.
I mean, and it went just all out. And look, I mean, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I think I actually made some comment on the last podcast, which was like, oh, you know, it's his last game. But honestly, I feel like he's been playing his last game for 3 months now.
Yeah.
It was different.
No, the atmosphere, I mean, it felt crazier than an NBA Finals game.
Oh,
or something.
Dude, game seven of the NBA Finals against the Celtics was, up until this point, the most insane atmosphere I think I've ever seen. It was just, I didn't expect it. And
I think just the circumstances surrounding the game in general were so unique, because I think we talked about this before, right? Like, not even Michael Jordan was able to go out in this way, just because, for one thing, Kobe's not really playing for anything. The Lakers aren't playing for anything.
Right.
On the one end, that's bad, right? But on the other end, everybody got into this game almost like a celebration, and nobody had to worry about anything.
Right.
So it was literally lit from the beginning. You know what I mean? Nobody was nervous about anything. It was just all about celebrating this guy. So I felt like we were watching like a World Cup Olympics game, you know, because
it felt like that. Yeah.
It was like, what is going on? And, it was just like almost like a very magical night for Kobe. And then, And then the game started, and then, you know, all the magic kind of died down, and you're like, oh, crap, we got to watch this game, huh?
Yeah.
And then Kobe starts off, like, super jittery. Okay. It was almost
like...
He was,
like, 0 for 5 or something, I think. Just...
Yeah, it was like the 2010 Game 7 against Boston, where he was, like, so nervous that he was just, like, jacking up these terrible shots. I mean, he's been jacking terrible shots, like, the entire year, but it just wasn't... They were really off, his shots. And started off 0 for 5, and then he kind of caught fire in the first, and then... I guess, when did it hit you that something special was happening, really? Because in the first, you know, we've seen Kobe this season get hot for, like, quarters, right? So when he started getting hot in the first, I was like, all right, here we go, do your thing. But I didn't expect it to really, like, last, you know? I was like, Kobe hit a three, all right. He hit another jump shot. He hit another three. I was like, oh, this is very impressive. All right, hopefully Kobe can go out decently. So I guess for you, when did it hit you that something special might be happening here?
It didn't really hit me until... I want to say, I mean, this is going to, it really didn't hit me like for real until like the last 5 minutes or, you know, when he went on that crazy streak at the end, because up until that point, I mean, he had stretches, like he had that stretch in the first quarter where it was like, wow. And then in the second quarter, he didn't really do anything. And then in the third quarter, he had another stretch where it was like, holy crap. And then there were like moments of where he would fade out again. And, I was like, this game is effectively over. Let's see if he can go for 50. And he just scores like 15 points in a row. It wasn't just that he scored 15 points in a row. It's like when he had the ball, it felt like 2007 Kobe or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like every time he touched it, you felt like if the ball was in his hands, it was going to go in.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what I wanted to point out too. Like, I felt like this game kind of brought everyone to a time that they'd totally forgotten how to feel. You know, you were talking about how at the end of the game, all you wanted to do was like just read up and soak yourself in all the Kobe stuff and watch videos, highlights, rewatch interviews. Do you remember when we did that a lot? It was during playoff runs, you know, during finals runs. I remember doing that so much. And like the last 3 years, all we do now at the end of games is look for the highlight, compacted version of the highlight videos, and that's it. You know, that's all we do pretty much. And then we talk about the games at the next day. But I remember doing all that stuff, like staying up late, just soaking myself in all that stuff, like in the heat of our playoff runs. And last night, that's all I wanted to do. I couldn't really sleep. I just wanted to rewatch every interview I could find, kind of listen to what other players were saying about the historic night and get everyone's opinion on everything. It was just pretty incredible that Kobe was able to like go back into the time machine and kind of take us with him. At the same time, and it's really been a while to have that sort of feeling. And the fact that he was able to also at the end of it, because I think, you know, just having a great 50-60 point game would have sufficed, but to add that extra competitive fire at the end with 3 minutes left, down 10, and to bring the team back by on his own was incredible. So here, let me give you the gist of my viewing experience. Actually, I'll let you go first. What was your viewing experience like? Did you just watch it at home with your girlfriend, or what was going on?
I had a couple friends over who were Laker fans. And actually, one is a big Laker fan. One is generally not a huge basketball fan, but he was interested because it was Kobe's last game.
Right. Did anybody want to watch the Warriors game? Was anybody like, oh, what about the Warriors?
No. I talked to many people who had that dilemma. Unfortunately, I didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
I mean, to the extent we did that, it was like, oh, like, let's flip on Laker commercials. This is like the first Laker game I've watched live all year.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, let's flip on Laker commercials to see if Steph Curry. I mean, everyone knew the Warriors, I felt like, were going to win that game.
For sure.
It was mostly to see Steph Curry hit 400 threes. The viewing experience was good. Got a ton of food. Honestly, again, it was like a game 7 almost. We got some beers.
Yeah.
We got a ton of food. And we all just, I mean, I don't remember the last time. I swear to God, it must have been like in middle school or high school or something. And like, I very rarely watch pregame stuff.
Yep.
I watched like an hour and a half of pregame stuff. Before the game, I watched like an hour of stuff after the game, and I like never do that anymore. So it was an epic experience. And I mean, the Lakers, they did a phenomenal job, I think.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, I the pregame ritual stuff is what hit it, what did it for me, like in terms of feeling from the get-go that this was something different and that this wasn't just a last game kind of thing. I don't know if we just emotionally tried to put on that mask of saying it's just the last game, but yeah, I mean, just the whole spectacle of everything like really hit me. Did you end up watching the TWC or ESPN?
So I watched I normally in this type of scenario always do the non-TWC because I hate Billy Mack.
Yeah.
But I figured they would have better coverage. So I did TWC. What about you?
Nice. Okay, so my viewing experience, I kind of watched this game in segments because I watched the entire first half in its entirety, including the pregame stuff on TWC. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty cool. But, you know, the first half, it kind of looked like any other game, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, because we were down by 15 at the end of the first half, right? And even though Kobe had 21 points, he was 7 for 20. So it's just another typical game where you're like, all right, Kobe's getting his shots and he's hitting points, but nothing really special is going on. And so I actually had to leave halfway through because I had to help one of my good friends at church, and my friend is 10 years older than me. He has a family and three beautiful girls, and they're moving. They had to move. So me and a couple of other guys had to help him like pack boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
But he made sure to tell us, do not pack the flat screen TV and the cable box. So we had the game going on, but we were packing while we were doing it. And, you know, after the first half, I was like, you know, we'll just have it in the background and keep watching. But we'll just celebrate with Kobe here and there. But I didn't expect it to be so tense eventually. So here we are just packing stuff in the house, putting everything in boxes. And eventually I kind of just kind of tune out midway through the third quarter, and then I get called to pack some stuff in the garage. So I'm like, all right, sure, why not pack some more stuff and do that. And then I check my phone, and then I see the score and the box score, and it's we have it DVR'd as well, mm-hmm. just in case we need to rewatch anything. But I was following on the box score, and it said Lakers, you know, the Jazz were up 94-84, I think, with 3 minutes left or something like that. And I was like, I guess that's how it's going to end. But at least Kobe has 45 points, yep. And at least he'll go out good, you know? And so I just turned my phone off and I finished doing what I'm doing in the garage. And then I go back in, and then people are like, hey, check your phone. And I was like, what? I check my phone and the Lakers have won the freaking game. I was like, wait, what? They were just down by 10. And then I look at the box score and it says Kobe 60. And I was like, wait, what? And then so when I see 60, I was expecting him to have taken like 30 more shots.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the field goal and it was like 22 for 50. I was like, so if he had hit three more shots, it would have been 50%.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, because the last time I checked the box score, he had 45 points on like, I don't know what the percentage was, but it was significantly lower than that, mm-hmm. you know, because I think in the last 3 minutes, he may have hit, what would you say, maybe like 4 out of 7 or something like that, field goals. I mean,
I felt like he didn't miss.
Yeah, he had like 15 points in the last 3 minutes. So we immediately rewatched the entire last like 5 minutes because we missed it. And even knowing what was going to happen, it was so magical to watch, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that I was able to just watch the game was surreal. And even knowing the narrative of what was going to happen and rewatching it, man, it was incredible watching him take over. And I feel like old Kobe, like he had an out-of-body experience, and old Kobe came and embodied him, essentially. And he just took over like we've seen him do before. And
And I mean, I like I said, I watched the game live and I was on TWC. But this morning I saw somebody post a clip of like the last 3 minutes of the game on ESPN's coverage.
Yeah.
And they actually... it wasn't like some B team. They actually had like Hubie and Mike Tirico calling it.
They were great. And I watched the second half. Yeah,
yeah, they were so good, dude. And Kobe is like hitting these ridiculous shots, and Hubie is just like, yeah, Hubie's just
dude.
Going like, oh,
dude. Dude, I was going to bring that up because Hubie Brown normally is a very subdued commentator. I don't know if you remember the Kobe shot, the game winner against Phoenix, where he hit the shot over Rajah Bell or Tim Thomas, whatever.
Yeah.
So for that game call, Hubie Brown's calling it, right? And this is essentially what he says. He's like, all right, you got to get a shot here now.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kobe hits the shot and you don't hear anything else from him. But that's pretty much essentially how Kobe Brown calls games, very matter of fact. And you rarely hear him show any sort of emotion. And if you do hear emotion, he'll go, oh, there we go now.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, like you said, he was like, oh, whoa.
It's like he was so amazed by what he was seeing. All he could do was yelp.
Exactly.
Which is funny because that's what everybody else was doing, probably.
No, it seemed like everybody was having some sort of weird out of body experience. I don't know if you saw like Jay-Z's reaction.
I did, yeah.
That guy's eyes were like so wide. Mm-hmm. He was so confused and so delirious at what was going on. Jack Nicholson, who's like 78 or something,
yep,
was standing up and jumping around like he was a spry 66.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like dancing and jumping. I was like, what the heck? All of these people are possessed.
I mean, it's just he did something that like people, like nobody in the world was expecting that to happen. You know what I mean? This guy could barely move up and down the court. He played 42 minutes in this game. Like, I feel like halfway through the third, it already looked like I was like, wondering how he was going to make it to the end. I just sort of assumed that Byron was going to sit him and then play him the final 6 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Like he's been doing, but he just started the fourth and I was like, oh shit, I guess he's just going to play the entire rest of the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like for a while, it's like he seemed like he could barely get up and down and then he just got possessed by like old Kobe or something.
Yeah.
And people were just like, Snoop was like feeling it.
Dude, Snoop was out of his mind. He brought some stuff into the stadium.
He must have. But yeah, dude, it was awesome seeing all those people like lose their shit. It was awesome. Like also like, and besides the game, like the fallout from the game, seeing all these NBA players like tweeting like, oh my god, I can't believe it, like that picture Damian Lillard tweeted of him like in disbelief and he was like, this photo was taken at the moment somebody told me Kobe scored 60. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and then like there was a video of like the entire Phoenix Suns team huddled around just all like going crazy over Kobe making his shots, like, you know, so you get the guys like, okay, Westbrook tweeted something, he loves Kobe. Wade tweeted something, he loves Kobe. Like Melo.
LeBron,
like all these dudes are like known to respect Kobe. Yeah. But besides that, you get the random dudes like Nick Batum was tweeting about this game. Like Myers Leonard was tweeting about this game. You know what I mean?
Dude, you had Festus Ezeli who was playing a historic game. Like I think right before the game or something, like he made either right before or after, he wrote a long ass Facebook post talking about Kobe Bryant, your career. I knew the name before I knew the game. And I knew your name before I knew the game. And once I found out the game and learned to love it, you spurred me on. And then he was talking about how pretty much Kobe Bryant's the inspiration for Golden State getting the record.
Oh my God.
I was like, what the heck? I don't know if your whole team feels that way, but sure, go ahead.
I know,
ahead,
dude. But it was just like so awesome. And I mean, we can get into this a little bit more, but the potential impact that it's seemingly meaningless game, the potential impact that this could have on our future is just insane.
I was going to bring that up too. And before we go into that, we also had, you were talking about random people, but we had the random shout out to former Laker Kent Bazemore talking about how he called this at the beginning of the season or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, Kobe's gonna drop 50. And he waited till the last day. And once Kobe scored 60, Kent Bazemore tweeted out, you're welcome, everybody. It was freaking funny, dude. But yeah, to get into what you were talking about, how the implications of this game might not seem far-reaching, but you just see how much coverage this game had and just the emotions it brought out in the normal fans and the superstars and all the most important people around the world. And it's just a great look and a great reminder of what it's like to be a superstar in Los Angeles. And most importantly, to be a Lakers legend in Los Angeles, you know,
right.
This is not a thing that the Clippers can do or
like,
you know,
pretty much any team, to be honest with you.
Any team. Exactly.
Like it's like it's, and yeah, I mean, sorry, what were we going to say? Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I think one thing that really stood out to me more than anything else was having Shaq there sitting courtside, and like Shaq was constantly being interviewed by everybody. And he kept making these comments about how he really missed LA. He loved his time in LA. I think he said like multiple times those were like his favorite and best years.
Yeah.
And he made this comment more than once where he said one of his biggest regrets is that he never got to do like a farewell tour like Kobe had with the Lakers, because he was never in that position with like a, you know, had he come back to the Lakers for one retirement season, God knows he might have had something like this, you know? So
for sure,
even though he wasn't like a career Laker, like he was a huge part. He basically won us three championships, right? So it's like something like that stood out to me a lot, because it's like, Shaq was not on the Lakers. Then he joined the Lakers. Then he left. He has all the perspectives that might appeal to a free agent considering jumping ship from their current team. You know what I mean? He was on a team that made the finals and got swept. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was on a team that had, his Orlando team had made deep playoff runs, and he decided to take the, you know, I mean, granted, this is circumstances were a little bit different because he got paid a shit, like the CBA was different. So he just got paid more by the Lakers than anyone else.
Yeah.
But all, you know, besides that, it's like, okay, he took the risk to come to LA. He saw what it was like in LA, and then he left and went on to do some other stuff with other teams for the end of his career. So he has all three perspectives, and to me,
all he could talk about was the Lakers.
And all he could talk about was the Lakers. And to me, that's like the type of like almost invaluable perspective for like a free agent. And it almost made me think like, God, maybe they should just bring in Shaq, like, bring him in some capacity to like talk to these free agents, because honestly, it makes sense in a way. He was the last huge free agent that we signed.
Yeah.
So I know it was 20 years ago, but like bring him in, like I'm sure he would be happy to help. It seemed like everything's positive. We retired his jersey. Like, I think we're on very good terms with him. And I think it, I don't know if they've thought about this because he doesn't have like an official connection to the team, but since they've like gone through with retiring his jersey and all this and that, like, I don't know why they wouldn't consider like asking him if he would like to come in, knowing that he was like literally the last big free agent that they signed, just to say a few words to a guy like, I don't know, maybe Kevin Durant, who's like sort of in a similar situation. Like, he's had really good success with his current team, but like is considering, I don't know, maybe he might consider leaving.
Honestly, they've gotten so many random ass people in their pitch rooms before. Why not? You know, it like makes the most sense to me. Like, so yeah, I mean, I totally feel you on that. And I feel like, I think on the one end, you could say, well, doesn't Kobe staying with the same team kind of influence other players like Kevin Durant or Paul George to stay with their old team the entire time?
Right.
On the one end, I could say, yeah, kind of, but it's never going to be this to this extent, because Los Angeles is almost the capital of the world. You know, you had people in China, like in auditoriums. I saw like a friend of mine is in Mongolia, and he snapped a picture of an entire auditorium, and they were all just watching this game, the Kobe game, not the Warriors game. And I heard Steph Curry is like huge in Mongolia, but they were all watching the Kobe game in an auditorium on the big screen. Right. And it's so like Los Angeles, like, you don't, I don't think that would happen in Indiana, you know? I mean, they'll probably celebrate Paul George, or they'll probably celebrate Kevin Durant, but no one's going to do it like Los Angeles, because that's where everything is. We were the center of the basketball universe, actually center of the sports universe once again. And just that feeling, I think it resonated with so many people, from big to small, right? Because we're talking about Shaq, and even down to the Lakers players that we've totally forgotten before. Can you
Chris Mim?
Chris Mim, DJ Banga, freaking Adam Morrison.
Chris Mim was
with his
dressed like he was ready to go to a club in Vegas that night. I'm not really sure who dressed him for the game.
But seriously. Adam Morrison with his dirty ponytail. I mean, these guys are forgettable in Laker lore, but because they were Lakers, and because they played with Kobe Bryant, and because they won championships, they're all here to take part and celebrate, you know? And the Lakers, you can just sense that sense of family and camaraderie. Yep. And why wouldn't she want to be a part of that? You know
what
I mean?
That's what I'm saying. It has to have such a huge impact on all these guys who are like, it's the last game of the year. Everyone has now a couple of days to like soak in everything that happened in that Kobe game. And everybody can see, like, this was a game that literally meant nothing to both teams. The Jazz knew that before the game that game didn't matter to them, right?
Yeah.
Kobe's been playing not very well the entire year, and the Lakers were going for 17 wins. It's like, in most teams, you go for 17 wins, and like half of your arena is going to be empty, right? So
yeah,
even on your home finale. But like, there's so much buzz, not just in the arena, but like other mega stars are like losing their crap over this. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's like, how can you? I can't help but think, if you're a guy like a Kevin Durant or even like a DeRozan or something, like to think like, okay, well, shoot. I mean, I thought I was like really big, but
yep,
if I said tomorrow was my last game in OKC, I don't know if it would, you know, get that same kind of hype that Kobe had after that game, you know?
For sure. And so it's just such a positive way to end the season. And it was so unexpected to come out feeling so euphoric.
Sounds
because
like optimistic.
We were so damn done with this freaking season, you know? And then all of a sudden, we just are all like, honestly, it feels like we won a championship right now, right? It almost feels like on Monday, there's a Kobe parade down Figueroa, right? It's just Kobe, and people are just going to be lining
Kobe's
up.
Kobe's just walking.
He didn't win anything, but it's still a Kobe parade, you know, with the champagne happening at the end of the game, too. I mean, it literally feels like we won the championship celebrating this guy. So it was just a monumental experience, obviously very transcendental.
Yeah.
It's transcendent.
I mean, I was going to add also, even besides, like, the other players on other teams, like, look,
the players on our team.
I will be, and if you've listened to this podcast, everybody knows that you and I both are not Byron Scott fans, to put it like not lightly, right?
Yeah.
Like we very much dislike Byron Scott.
For sure.
That being said, his decision to put the four young guys who are probably going to be like our four young core players, whether or not they're going to be stars or all stars or starters or whatever they're going to be, right? Those are our four core young guys that we currently have moving forward. And as things stand, it's likely that we intend those four pieces to be a part of our rotation in some fashion, right?
Yeah.
So to put those four guys on the court with Kobe for that like final magical 6 minutes was just brilliant. Okay.
For sure.
Like he could have easily botched it and put in like Netta or put in like a vet or I'm trying to think of who else played in that game. Like he could have left Tariq Black out there because he's a true center, but yeah. He was, you know, he was, I give him a little credit, he put Larry Nance in, when he brought Randall in, he put in Randall for Tariq, he had like Nance basically play the center, and it that like ha- like the look on those guys' faces when Kobe was doing this, it was like Kobe, 37 years old, and then you have D'Angelo, 20, Randall, 21, and then Clarkson and Nance are both 23.
Yeah.
These young ass guys, and then it was like their first time at Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
That sort of thing has got to be like so inspirational. And to like, after this horribly shitty season, to go out on a high like that, like, it's got to encourage these guys to stop and like take a look at themselves and be like, crap, dude. Like, if Kobe, I mean, maybe I'll never be Kobe, but like, look at the hard work that he put in and look at the payoff that he ultimately got for it. Like, why can't I try to do something like that? Maybe I'll never be that good, but if I work really hard, I want to try to leave a legacy. Like, I just saw Kobe leave on the court last night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it was just crazy, and you could sense, I don't know, I felt like just for those guys to be on the court while Kobe was doing that, it's just going to leave such a lasting memory for them, and hopefully they take that into the summer, right?
Yeah,
it's
and like, I mean, it sort of sounds like that, if anybody saw the exit interviews today, like,
yeah,
I didn't see D'Angelo, but Julius and, did D'Angelo even go? He went today, right?
I'm not sure. He may go tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see D'Angelo, but I saw Clarkson and Randall, and both of those guys were like, they want to get in the gym. They know what they need to work on, and both of them were very, like, keenly aware of pretty much all the stuff that we've been talking about all year, which, again, leads us to confirm that, like, our front office is not stupid. Like, they kind of know what they're doing. It's, like, obvious. You look at and you see, like, Clarkson came out, and all he was talking about, he didn't say anything about three-point shooting and blah, 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 this and that, or I need to, like, learn how to be a better playmaker. Like, he didn't have all this, like, random, extraneous bullshit. Everything he said was about defense. And yep. we've been talking about that this whole entire season. You know what I mean? And like,
pretty much,
you go read the mainstream Laker media coverage. Nobody's talking about Clarkson's defense. We were talking about it the whole season, and yeah. clearly, you know, the front office. Clarkson walked into this meeting, and the front office basically grilled him on his defense for like the entire 30 minutes. That's what it sounded like. Yeah. Randall came out, and he was like, off. And it's so funny, dude. It's like, again, all stuff we've been talking about. He said, my on-ball defense is pretty good because I get locked in, which we've all said, yeah. like, he's been able to even keep up with guards. But he said, my off-ball defense is horrible, which we've all said. Nice. You know what I mean? And he said, mm-hmm. like, and on offense, I need to work on my right hand and my jump shot. All stuff that yep. we've said all season. Like, and it's nice to see that. But then, like, Clarkson also made some comment about how, like, him and D'Angelo and Randall, none of them are leaving SoCal for the entire summer. They're all going to be here, nice. And they all plan on working together.
Yeah.
So that's going to be like, those guys working together is going to be like invaluable. I mean, D'Angelo wasn't here last year. Randall was still rehabbing. And Clarkson, you know, he was like, I don't know. He was off doing his own thing because he was like the yeah. only one who played last year. But those guys working together and like, you know, fine tuning each other, like helping each other out, developing that chemistry and just continuing to grow and like work really hard. Like, I mean, Randall said, I'm really not going to take a break. I'm just going to like start working right away.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. Like, these guys are young. It's good that they're hungry. If they front load this development process, it's going to help them like so much for the rest of their careers.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy to me is I feel like, leading up to the last game, these guys, you could feel it. They were as checked out as we were. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everything flipped off one game, off one incredible throwback performance. And it's crazy to say, and maybe silly to say, that, you know, one game could absolve the sins of the entire season. But it kind of feels that way.
It honestly did kind of feel. I know exactly what you're saying. And that's what I'm saying, that we haven't had a season close with an optimistic close at the end, like what, in 4 or 5, I don't even know how many years. Like,
yeah.
it's just like last year, the season ended, we all felt like crap. The year before that, the season ended, we all felt like crap. Even though we knew we had like a good chance to get like a high lotto pick and there was a reason to be optimistic about that. I mean, I don't want to say like, I don't even care if we get the pick because I still
yeah.
do, but like,
yeah.
It's like, it doesn't feel like last year, if we didn't get the pick, I would have felt devastated. You know what I mean? Yeah. This year, if we don't get the pick, I'm going to be really annoyed. But like, it's not like, because of how optimistic everything else ended up, it wouldn't necessarily feel like it was the end of the world, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, it was an incredible night, obviously. And I kind of like what Kobe said at the end. It was actually surprising to hear where he was like, it wasn't so much about the championships and whatever. I don't know how much he meant, but he was like, it wasn't so much about the championships and whatnot, but it was more, I value the most all of the down years that we had and just having to trudge through that to eventually get back to the top.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was really cool to hear him say, just to be able to have the perspective to, you know, just trust the process and just like and you know, just have the perspective to know that what you're grinding at is eventually gonna lead to something, and even if it doesn't, it leads to a game like last night where he gets 60 points after 3 years of just trying to rehabilitate his body and just see if he was still a basketball player, you know. And all it, I feel like that one game made it all worth it for him, you know. It yeah. just validated so much for him. And to end it was a legitimately a very, very good game by him. You know, his true shooting percentage was like 54%. The one shot that didn't work for him was his 3-point shot, because he jacked up like 21 of them.
Did, yeah.
And if he had just taken the good 2-point shots he had taken, he probably would have shot 50%. You know,
I mean, yeah, because I mean, even if you subtract all of his threes from the game, like, he shot 16 for 29, which is over 50%.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? And he did it he scored in a myriad of ways like we haven't seen before. The only thing that was missing was his insane athleticism. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, he was driving, beating people off drives, showing his footwork, doing pump fakes and hitting reverse layups. And then he was splitting a lot of double teams and getting wide open J's on his own, you know? So it's not like they weren't doubling him. It's just whenever that they tried to double him, he'd split it immediately. And he looked very spry and very quick. And Gordon Hayward was guarding him a couple of times, and he was able to beat Gordon Hayward to the paint and score inside, score in the mid-range like we've always seen him do, and then in the fourth quarter, score from three. So it was overall just an objectively very impressive performance. And the best part about it is I feel like even the staunchest Kobe haters gave it up to Kobe last night. Like, they just had to show their respect, and I think even they were in awe, and everybody just kind of got the feels all at once, just to see everything this guy has meant to the city, the sport. It was just all manifest in his game last night, in the way he played, and the eventual result where we actually won the game. So,
right.
Overall, very, very epic. And do you have anything last thoughts to bring up?
Nothing really. I mean, the only thing again is I'm going to point out, like, we should feel fortunate that although things seem grim at some times, or a lot of times this season, our front office, I think, is clearly, we've got some smart people in there. Although all the hate Jim has gotten over the years, I have faith still, maybe not in free agent pitches, but I still have faith in Jim and Mitch. And I still have faith in, now that Kobe is like not a player and he's taking a step away, like, Kobe's a really smart guy too. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
these guys, like, as much as we want to say, like, oh, how can people be so blind and blah, 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 this and that, I think a lot of teams have issues with that. I don't think we're going to have an issue with that. Not once throughout the entire season did Mitch or Jim or Kobe especially, like, ever, like, publicly defend Byron Scott, like vehemently defend Byron Scott. Like,
yeah,
Mitch pretty much was like, don't talk to me about it. Jim didn't make any comments. Kobe, the entire season, could have said so many things to protect Byron, said nothing. Okay, so for all this stuff that we're going to hear in the next few weeks about, oh, the Lakers are considering keeping Byron, and have faith that our front office is fairly intelligent, and I think there's a good reason to be optimistic about the future.
Yeah, for sure. My suggestion would be for free agent pitches, why don't they just sit someone in a room and replay this entire game from pre-game ritual to post-game Kobe stand-up show, where he was, I thought it was hilarious, as he just had the mic and he just kept like,
he was like pacing back and forth. It was like a stand-up show.
I was like, what the hell is going on? Just one more thing I wanted to point out. At the end of the game, you know, when Clarkson had that last dunk? Mm-hmm. He kind of had a rookie moment where he took the ball and he just chucked it into the stands like it was a Rucker Park. And I was like, dude, that's a special ball, dude. You should hold on to that and give it to Kobe so he can, like, keep it at his house. And Clarkson just kind of lost his mind. He was like, here we go.
And then you can see, it's so funny, if you watch it back, you can see Ryan Kelly, like, pointing at the ball and, like, chasing it to, like, try to make sure that they save it.
Seriously, like, who has that ball now? It's like freaking hilarious.
So funny, dude. But anyways, so I want to say one more thing quickly about free agency.
So
for the longest time, the Lakers free agent pitch has always been this whole Showtime thing, right? The reality is, Showtime works when you have Kobe and you have Shaq, right? Because those guys were young when it was Showtime. I think, and again, this gets back to the Shaq thing, which is, I guess, a little bit of an unorthodox suggestion. Now that Kobe's retired, all of the current free agents and the people who are in that age range to be free agents now were all young. You know, the same age Kobe was when Showtime was going on, those guys were that age when Kobe and Shaq were winning. You know what I mean? So, like, I think there's definitely some value in, like, you know, not completely, like, openly and blatantly cutting ties with Magic, James Worthy, Byron, Kareem, etc. But, like, do we need to have James Worthy and Magic on every pitch? Maybe not necessarily. How about, like, let's have Kobe, let's bring in, like, a wild card. Like, I don't know, dude, maybe Shaq. And just have these guys, and then show these guys, like, hey, remember these two? Like, they teamed up and they did awesome stuff when you were, like, a teenager, Kevin Durant. Do you remember? And, like, Shaq was in your shoes, like, around your same age, and, like, look what happened to him, and, like, this is his opinion on, like, on how things went for him, and, like, all this and that. And I think that is, like, a really interesting pitch angle, and I'm not sure if they're considering that because they're so attached to the Showtime era. But, like, the reality is, I mean, I don't even think Kevin Durant was not even born, like, when it was Showtime, right? He's only, what is he, like, 28 or something?
Yeah, 27, 28.
So, you know, he was like a baby in the late 80s. He was not watching basketball. By the time he became a conscious human being, Showtime was over. You know what I mean? So it's like, shift the perspective a little bit. Like, by the time Kevin Durant was probably starting to get into basketball, Kobe emerged on the scene as like the new young hotshot kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's our age, so he watched the
exactly
era and stuff like that.
So I think that's like an interesting thing that the Lakers should, again, you don't want to completely cut off all ties with like that Showtime crew, because they're all great and it was like an important part of Laker history, but that is not going to resonate with this current group of young free agents. Those guys are more interested, in my opinion, in Kobe, and even possibly a guy like Shaq, who was not, like we said, he was not on the team, then he was on the team, then he was off the team, and he has like all these interesting perspectives that he could potentially offer.
For sure. So yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point, and I'm effectively going to bump up Kevin Durant's percentages of being a Laker from 1.26% to a good 3.24. So there you go. I think everybody's leaving last night on a positive note, including the front office. And who knows, maybe they're more amped and more motivated to come up with some amazing pitches now, you know, after that game. And I wouldn't be surprised. I guess to close this out, to leave us feeling all fluffy and poetic and whatnot, how about that last scene of Kobe hugging all the young guys? Like, I think he purposefully, like, pulled in Randall, Clarkson, and Russell, and I saw a picture where it kind of looked like Roy Hibbert was trying to join in, but they wouldn't let him in. But, I mean, that's your Lakers legacy right there, you know? Kobe legitimately... Kobe knows what he's doing, right? But that was, like, an awesome moment where he just legitimately pulled in those guys for a very specific reason and purpose, because those guys are supposed to be the future, you know?
Exactly.
And that was just a great image to have embedded in our minds. And I think there was one play in particular that kind of encapsulated that image as well. Clarkson wasn't part of it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. The Kobe got a steal, whipped it behind his back to D'Angelo.
Between the legs.
Yeah, D'Angelo did like a between the legs kind of like lazy 360 to Randall for a dunk. And I was just like, what the heck? Like, these guys have not had this much fun since the All-Star break, you know what I mean? Since the All-Star game. And it was just great to see the chemistry, just see all the love for each other, fighting for each other, cheering each other on, something we haven't seen all season. So we're still trying to get off that high. And, you know, it's just such a poetic way for Kobe's career to end and to close this podcast. You know, I find it very, like I said, poetic that Kobe started his, you know, Kobe as a rookie had those three or four air balls against Utah, the playoffs, and he's going to end his career against Utah shooting three or four air balls as well, but on his way to 60 points.
Right.
So, I mean, just an incredible career by Kobe Bryant, and there's so much minutia we can get into, but I think you guys have all been soaking it up as well on Twitter, and we'll just kind of leave it at that and thank Kobe for giving us literally one last great show that we'll never forget.
Yep.
You know, so improbable. But so yeah, everybody, thanks for listening again, and we will catch you in the coming weeks to talk about more Byron. We'll get sucked back into this Lakers crap that's going to be sadly devoid of Kobe now. But we're just thankful and glad we were able to see one last show. So thanks for listening. Again, catch us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Follow us on iTunes. If not, don't follow us, but rate and review us on iTunes. The more you rate and review, that's how many superstar free agents we're going to get. Yeah, we're going to get them all after this. All right. So, yeah, on that note, we are going to fade to black, Mamba. Tommy, I'll catch you later.
Bye. I'm not constructing the battle, pushing and pulling and wishing that Messiah would be coming soon with his deliverance. I am. Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo! Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.